I'm taking my scriptural background this evening from a number of different chapters. I said from the fourth chapter of Ephesians. Actually, I'm going to read a portion from the sixth chapter of Acts this evening. I'll get to it, I hope, before I quit. And from Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and 1 Corinthians 14 as well. I'll give you time to turn when we get there. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 7, speaking about the Spirit and the church. I'll give you time to turn the pages. I'd like to hear the pages turn. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Once again, Father, we ask your blessing upon us as we would divide the word of truth. We pray that you will speak to us tonight. We pray that our lips will be touched, our ears will be anointed, that we might be able to know your work, your will, your mind. In Jesus' name we pray. Although one of the emphases of our day is that every man should do his own thing, and although it is true that God saves us individually and treats each one of us very much as individuals, we are precious in his sight. Our personality is precious to the Lord. Still, it's one basic concept of the New Testament that the Spirit of God works primarily through his church. The New Testament, as I understand it, as I read it, is not primarily a book of private devotions, but rather it's a handbook on how the Holy Spirit wants to work in each of us individually, and yet how he wants to work through the body of Christ, the beloved bride of Christ, that which Jesus himself said, I will found, I will build, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so the New Testament is a handbook for the church, and the Holy Spirit works through, primarily through, the church. Probably I'd be safe to say that no one of us ever wins another person to the Lord by ourselves. We may think we do, and you may be the end product, be privileged to be the one who actually leads someone to the Lord. And there may be a few individuals saved across the nation that perhaps just one person was all that dealt with them, but I doubt it. When Earl Lee was here for PALCON, he spoke about how his church there in Pasadena ministered to his own family, to his own son, and how they laid a foundation, and it's his confidence and it's his belief that someday someone will slip in beside that son who's out of the will of God. And off in the Middle East somewhere with an oil company, he said someday somebody will slip in beside him and pull out four laws or something and witness to him, and he'll think he's won him to the Lord. But really the church is what the Holy Spirit has used and is using. It came early in my ministry, this concept that the Holy Spirit is able to coordinate his church. I was thinking of how much we need somebody to just guide us and lead us, and why don't we have a handbook somewhere? Why isn't it that seems as though evil is so well orchestrated, and communism and what have you, seem like they're always moving ahead, and the church is so fragmented and so fractured. And I just was thinking, why doesn't somebody do something? And it came to me, somebody has done something. And the Holy Spirit is our coordinator. And he does want to work through us, and he is working through us, and it's our job to get in tune with the Holy Spirit and let him coordinate us. And he is coordinating us, and whether or not we recognize it, the Church of Jesus Christ is polarizing around the Holy Spirit. I believe the world's polarizing, rather. Around the Holy Spirit is gathering his church together. Young people and old, not just in the Church of the Nazarene. We're just a little part of Zion. But the Church of Jesus Christ is coming alive. And we need to make sure that we're a part of the revival that is coming. And so, I want to speak this evening about how the Holy Spirit deals with the church in general, and how he wants to deal with you and me as part of the visible church here in Wollaston. I don't know who said it, but whoever has God for his father has the church for his mother. And I believe that's true. It was the church that the Spirit came upon at Pentecost. The Spirit came upon a group of individuals. They were not the church until such time as the Holy Spirit came and brought a presence into their midst. We spoke last Sunday evening. You don't have to have the fullness of the Holy Spirit in order to be in one accord and in one place. And true, the group there was united and in one accord and in one place. But they were not the church until they were galvanized into unity by the inner harmony of the presence. And the church became the church when the Holy Spirit came to reside and to preside in the hearts of the 120. And every true believer here this evening is a part of the body of Christ. And whether or not you have identified with the visible body, whether you've considered how important it is to be an active, participating, disciplined part of the Church of Christ, whether you've considered it or not, you are a part of the body of Christ, if so be that Christ dwells in you. And I honestly believe with all my heart that every believer ought to identify with the visible church. I'm not saying everybody ought to join the church where I pastor. I'd like that very much. But, you know, we just can't coast along and say, well, bless the Lord, I've been saved and I know he's real to me. And let them. I hate that word, they, when it's concerned with the people where you worship. It's not they, it's us, it's we. And we need to identify, get in, with all its faults and frailties, and identify with the church. And so I urge you to realize that the Spirit wants to work through the church, through you. And so the Spirit came upon the church at Pentecost. And then the Spirit seeks to edify the church in answer to prayer. How self-centered we are and how egotistical we are. And the reason many of our prayers go unanswered is because they are self-centered. But as we read the book of Acts, as we read the New Testament, we realize that many of the prayers that are prayed there are prayed in behalf of individuals who are representing the church, who are working for the church. Number of examples I could bring. But I think in the fourth chapter of Acts there, how the leaders of the church were intimidated, or at least the authorities attempted to intimidate them. And we read how after the miracle that Peter and John performed at the temple, the authorities gathered together and commanded them that they should not speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus, verse 18 of chapter 4. And Peter and John were scared. At least, this is how I interpret it. Maybe you could interpret it a little differently. But they answered the right things. Verse 20, they said, "We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye." But as soon as they were let go, I read there in the fourth chapter of Acts, Peter and John went back to the body of believers, back to the church. And there they took a little time, where is it, verse 23, and reported back to the church the threatening and the intimidation and the problem. And then they, Peter and John, and the body of believers went to prayer. And they just told God all that Peter and John had told them. And they told God about his integrity and about his faithfulness, about his promises. And they said, Lord, grant now, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants, not that we should be taken out of this hard situation, not that we should have an easier way, but grant that with boldness, with all boldness, they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And verse 31 of chapter 4 says, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And so here the Spirit came to charge and surcharge the church and edify the church in answer to prayer. And this just cuts across the idea of much preaching about the Holy Spirit, superficial preaching that we hear, where it seems as though personality is lifted up and where the emphasis is upon, have you received this gift or have you reached some particular height or ecstasy and experience? But if we would give ourselves to seeing the Lord's Prayer carried out in our lives, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, in my church, in the church of Jesus Christ, we could see power backing up our prayers, for Jesus cares for his church. Jesus loves his church. And when we are in line with his will, the prayer he taught us to pray, the power will come. Another example of how the Spirit seeks to edify the church and answer to prayer is in the fourth chapter of Ephesians and in the 12th and 14th chapters of 1 Corinthians, where we have lists of gifts of the Spirit. Various lists. Corinthians is the most interesting, perhaps, but let's turn to the fourth chapter of Ephesians. He speaks there about the various assignments that are given to the members of the body of Christ. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. But verse 12 tells us why. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The reason that people are called to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers is not so that they can be some kind of big shots, but rather so that they can edify the body of Christ. Once again, in Corinthians there, the 12th and the 14th, you know, sandwiching around that great 13th chapter of Corinthians. But it goes on and gives a great long list of the gifts of the Spirit. But it says in verse 14 of the 14th chapter, the 12th chapter of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 14:12. Get it after a while. Even so ye, forasmuch as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. All the gifts of the Spirit are given for the basic purpose of building up, edifying, glorifying the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, the church. And so when we seek, or when we, maybe we don't seek to do it, but when we do it inadvertently, when we glorify human personality or self, we're doing what is contrary to God's clear will. When it comes to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, no personality cult can ever be justified. When we witness, when we sing, when we preach, when we do anything to the glory of God, who is glorified is all important. And what we do for the Lord is never a performance. It's a ministry. And when it's given in that spirit, the Holy Spirit comes and gives power. And will give power. In my opinion, Billy Graham passes this test. He gets a lot of publicity, and he's very visible, and people can knock him, and yet the spirit of the man, there's the difference between him and others I could name, who get a lot of publicity. They're out front. Someone spoke to Billy Graham one time and said, how come you were chosen of God, and you've preached personally to the millions, and our well known and speak to kings and presidents. And if I heard correctly, his answer was, well, when I get to heaven, that's the first thing I'm going to ask the Lord. Showing that he has a spirit of humility, and it's not seeking to glorify or edify himself. By the very nature of the business, some of us are a little more in prominent places than others. But Jesus is the one that is to be glorified, and the Holy Spirit seeks to lift up Jesus to edify the church. Now, getting to the main point of my message, you thought that was all the main point before, didn't you? But this portion which we read from the sixth chapter of Acts, how the Holy Spirit uses the church at large and how he works through lay leaders. The Spirit filled lay people. I don't know that I like distinction between clergy and lay. And in my opinion, every true member of the body of Christ is a minister. I really believe that with all my heart. And you have gifts. You have a spectrum of gifts. Potentially, you have that which is indispensable and vital to the body. And yet, if we're going to make that distinction between clergy and lay, it's interesting that it was the lay people that did the spreading of the gospel. Read there in the eighth chapter of Acts, if you will. Turn to it. Get your Bibles there. Look at chapter 8, verse 1. Saul was consenting to his death, and at that time there was great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And look at verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And so just the opposite of what we have in our minds quite often, that the apostles went out and proclaimed the word of God. In this particular instance, the whole church was scattered abroad, like somebody walked into a bonfire and just kicked it, and the sparks flew everywhere. But wherever those sparks went, they started more fires. But it was all the people except the apostles that went everywhere, scattered abroad, preaching the word. And so, here we see in this sixth chapter how it was that the church, the Holy Spirit through the church, filled the lay people to use them to edify the body of Christ. Who he selected? Let's look at them. Verse 3, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Honest report. I don't care what people think about me. Well, I care what people think about me. And here, the importance of our influence. It can't dominate us, what other people think about us. And yet it's important that we do have a good report. And so they were seeking for those that could do the job, and they sought out seven men of honest report and full of the Holy Ghost. And so the thing about it is that I can qualify here. You can qualify. We can all be people of good report. And by the grace of God, it's not for the super spiritual to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We can all be filled with the Holy Spirit. He goes wherever he's asked, wherever he really is invited. And so we can all be part of the thrilling work of the church if we'll let the Holy Spirit fill us and use us. And then why was it that the Holy Spirit chose not only the apostles and the preachers, but the lay people? The answer here is in verses 2 to 4. The 12 called the multitude of disciples and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. The Holy Spirit fills us to make possible a diversity of actions. And there are times when it's more important the things that are done off the platform and out of the church. There are times, most of the time, the church really is the church on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. That's when the church work is done. We come together to get charged up and to be fed from the word and to receive our orders and to receive our assignments and kind of lick each other's wounds a little bit and care for each other. And then we go out to be the church. And so the Holy Spirit chose these men to make possible a diversity of actions. This is a team concept that I believe the church at large is catching. And a church that has this concept, until the smallest person, whoever that is, the one who feels the most insignificant, says, The Holy Spirit is in me. I have something to contribute. I have something to give that if I don't give, nobody else can do. When we catch this concept and we love each other and we pray for each other, the church that's filled with the Holy Spirit, which is just another way of saying the church that's filled with the love of Jesus, just can't be stopped. And I have a vision of a church where everyone, from the pastor to the janitor to the Sunday school teacher to the children that are just old enough to understand, open their hearts like a flower to the Holy Spirit and say, come in and fill me and use me and make me what you want me to be. How God equipped these men. Verse 6, when they sat before the apostles, when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. I believe God never calls a man to a task that he can do all by himself. That's one reason I'm here in this pulpit tonight. But I believe that God calls us to where we just have to depend upon the Holy Spirit and depend upon a fresh anointing. And when we get saved and sanctified, we don't just get a tremendous ball of power that will just shoot us out to wherever we feel that God would have us to go, but rather we make a connection with power. I don't know a whole lot about electricity, and there are a lot of people here that can tell me more about it, but I do know that when I get hooked up to a power source, I get just as much as I can demand. And if you've got the ample connections, you can run anything. And the Holy Spirit's this way. When we are filled with the Spirit, when we've made the proper connection, God will give us as much as we need. And as we find God's will, and as He anoints us, and as He leads us, leading of the Spirit, as we were speaking about this morning, we can do beyond what we feel that we can possibly do. I can't do the work of the church. You can't do the work of the church. We can't do the work of the church, but we, you and I and the Holy Spirit, coordinating us. The Spirit came to edify the church, to build the church, and He will do it as we let Him. I'd like to close this message this evening with a simple two-part challenge to you. And I'd like you to consider this challenge, wherever you are, whatever particular church body you belong to, and respond as God would have you to do it. The first part of my challenge is I challenge you to tell God that you're available for any task that He would call you to do, whether it's large or small. I think here it's just like when I used to get ready to go on a diet. I'm always going on a diet tomorrow or next week, right after this big meal I'm having, you know. Finally came the time where I had to fish or cut bait. Thanks to Tom of Bugles, he pushed me over the cliff. And I got on my diet and got started. That's the way it is when it comes to doing the work of God. And it's not out there somewhere. We have to come to the place where we say, Lord God, I'm available. And you show me what you want me to do. I will accept your orders. Will you accept that challenge this evening? And the second part of this, the first part of the challenge, then let me make it clear again. I challenge you to tell God that you're available for any task, large or small, that He calls you to. That doesn't mean if I approach you and say, would you teach a class, or if some other officer of the church comes, it's necessarily God's will. Although you better listen carefully when an officer of the church asks you to do something, because God may be speaking through that person. But when you know it's God's will you do it? Part number two, I challenge you to support the church by praying for the others, your brothers and sisters in the Lord, as they do their tasks. I thank God every day when I pray for Jesus Christ living in somebody else, and I pick out different people. And I can see the faults in those people that I pray for, and yet Jesus really is living in them if they're truly born-again Christians. You see what I'm saying? The church is made up of imperfect people, even though we preach Christian perfection, and I believe in that. Still, Christian perfection is different than absolute perfection. And it's so easy for us to see the faults in our brothers and sisters. And when we do, somehow that spirit is grieved, as we spoke about this morning from the fourth chapter of Ephesians. But I challenge you to, instead of finding fault, to say, Lord Jesus, help me to love my brothers and sisters as they attempt to do their tasks. The world runs on competition, but the Church of Jesus Christ runs on love. If we don't have it, we don't run. Someone asked Ray Nitschke. I shouldn't ask how many know who Ray Nitschke is. But he used to be one of the fearsome people of the Green Bay Packers football team. And they asked him, what was it that Vince Lombardi could do to weld a bunch of great big men into a winning football team? And you know what Ray Nitschke said? We love each other. We love each other. If a football team can do it, for heaven's sake, can a local church do it too? I'm not saying that we don't. I sense a lot of love in the Spirit, spirit of love on the services. I sense God's presence. But if we will accept the challenge that we will just have a spirit of love and we'll pray for each other and we'll pick each other up, I tell you, the Holy Spirit will move in our church and we'll see revival. I have a hunger to see a genuine moving of the Holy Spirit before I die. I've heard about it. I've heard about the good old days and the great old revivals. But I just have a feeling that when we line up with the will of God, the Spirit wants to edify the church by just coming through us in mighty power. And it'll come along the simple line of availability to God and of love and concern and prayer one for each other. Will you accept this two-part challenge this evening? So we bow our heads in prayer. Father, we believe the Spirit wants to glorify the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, the church. And He wants to do it by filling each of us and putting us in our proper place, coordinating us together as the body of Christ, the church. And so, Lord, we want to tell You tonight, we are available. We pray that You'll line us up, show us what we need to do. We pray that You'll help us, Lord, to be open to the ministry of the Spirit. And then, Lord, we pray that You'll give us a love one for another until we'll look beyond each other's faults and we'll see Jesus Christ living and dwelling in His church, in the personalities of our brothers and sisters, and we'll lift each other up as we attempt to do what God the Holy Spirit would show us to do. Now, Lord, we leave this message with Your church. Have Your way, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.